This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations. Manila, the Philippines. It has been much in the news these last days because of a visit by the Secretary of Defense, Mr. Austin, to secure a new conversation between Washington and Manila for a return of the American military to the Philippines. The American military left the Philippines in the late 20th century, chastised, accused, abused by the Filipino government at the time and the political class as an unwanted friend, a country that had taken advantage of the Philippines for 100 years and was no longer needed because the Cold War was over. Well, the Cold War is over, but as I understand the deal right now, the U.S. will be returning to Luzon, that's the main island in the north, and significantly to Palawan Island, a long, thin stretch that is on the South China Sea. Professor, the Manila point of view, is this a come-to-Jesus moment, or did they sign on the line because they need money? Can you tell?
Well, I think it's definitely not a come-to-Jesus moment for everybody, because I've been reading the Manila newspapers, the English-language papers, and several of them are just furious that they're engaging in neocolonialism and all the rest. But I think that a lot of people in the Philippines have been enraged by the way China has treated them. China has said they cannot explore for oil in their own waters because China owns all of that water. The Philippines did the responsible thing, which is to sue in the international court to determine whether Chinese territorial claims to the South Sea, or the West Philippine Sea as it's known, were in fact legitimate. And the court found unanimously that China was out of line and the Philippines were legally entitled to their territory. Even so, any number of islands which the Philippines thought were part of the Philippines have been taken over by China. And Scarborough Shoal, there was a showdown. The United States intervened, and both sides agreed to withdraw. And the Filipinos withdrew, but the Chinese did not. So the Chinese now have Scarborough Shoal. So I think that there is a Mr. Duterte, who was the previous president before Marcos. My own belief is one of the things that the Chinese do is they go to the leader and they say, look, just remember these four numbers. If you ever have to flee, if you go to the Bank of Liechtenstein and say these four numbers, we've put $1 billion in an account for you. In other words, they pay people off in a most lavish way. And I don't know what made Duterte tick, but I think he and certain high Filipino officials may well have been paid off. As for the new president, Marcos, son of the celebrated dictator Marcos, I think he has money of his own, and I think he is a Filipino patriot in the sense that he doesn't want to be pushed around by China. Now, this agreement is very good, and what it's going to mean, you have to consider, what does China need? They're building the world's biggest navy. They need access to the Pacific. How do you get there? Well, there are three ways. One is through the Tsugaru Strait, which is between Honshu and Hokkaido in the north of Japan. I think in time of hostility, that would be a very difficult passage to make, although the Chinese have gone through it in company with the Russians, and the Japanese have done nothing. The second way is through the Miyako Strait, which is south of Okinawa. There's a rather large gap, and then you come to the island of Miyako. I believe that you'll notice that not only the Chinese Navy, but even the Chinese Air Force always exits through the Miyako Channel, because that's the only international water that they can traverse that gets them from their own coast to the Pacific Ocean. But I think that is also very difficult. And then the third is the Bashi Channel, which is north of Luzon and south of Taiwan. And the Philippines have always been the problematical piece because we just don't know whether the Philippines will take a hard line if the Chinese decide to push them or to push their neighbors around, or whether they'll just collapse. And I think the indication now is that the Philippines have made a basic decision to orientate themselves militarily with the other free states of Asia and with the United States and Japan. And, of course, this is wise and responsible, but it poses a tremendous problem for China because now there is no unproblematical route for their Navy to take to get to the ocean. So I would add to this, as we haven't gotten much attention, but Mr. Sullivan and met and Mr. Blinken met with last week with the Indian National Security Advisor, Mr. Doval. And there's talk now that Mr. Modi is going to come to America for a state visit. And this, India is a far more reasonable, stable, unmilitaristic country. It's not as dangerous. It's not a dangerous country in the way that China is. We can all, everybody has something to say about India. They certainly have problems. But remember, when their prime minister, Mrs. Gandhi, was assassinated by her bodyguard, who was a Sikh, and she was busy putting down the Sikhs with all kinds of unreasonable force. Had a prime minister of China been shot dead by his bodyguard, there would have been a national crisis. One of my friends who was there was the officer of the day. He said all he did was just call up and say, look, the prime minister's been shot. And the Indians knew exactly who took over. And there was no, they really didn't miss a beat. This is very impressive. I mean, if that happened in France, one doesn't even know what would happen. So if we add to the Philippine deal, this emerging partnership with India, we have a situation in which China is really tied down. So I would say that the threatened countries are now turning to the U.S. We're getting robust alliance systems, which are a sketch. They're a first sketch of what the security system is going to look like after the war. And in a sense, they give us a glimpse of the shape of the post-Ukraine war world, if any.
I'll draw the map. India, member of the quartet. Australia, member of AUKUS, with attack submarines to be based out of the naval base near Perth. Japan, Kushida talking about doubling the defense budget and growing the military. South Korea talking to NATO. And now the Philippines talking to the United States. Surrounding China, surrounding the aggression of the Chinese Communist Party for the balance of the 21st century. Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, commenting on six capitals, six points of view. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.